Welcome into the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, presented by Andy's Frozen Custard.
Kelsey at the 20, 15 to the 10, and into the end zone, touchdown, Kansas City!
On your weekday home for Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Mitch Holtis.
The ball is out and picked up by the Chiefs. It's a Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City!
Your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Wants to run a boot, being chased by Chris Jones. He is wrapped up and eaten by Chris Jones.
Here's Jay Binkley.
And good evening, Chiefs fan. Once again, the Kansas City Chiefs fall to the Buffalo Bills in the regular season like they did last year. But are we in full panic mode, or are we just going to chill out on this game? Chiefs fall in the 53rd meeting between the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. 24-20 at Arrowhead Stadium. And it kind of reminded me of last year. It kind of reminded me of where these two teams were a season ago. After the Buffalo Bills beat the Chiefs handily, 38-20 at Arrowhead Stadium, the Chiefs moved to 2-3, right? Five games in, they were 2-3, and the Buffalo Bills are 4-1. That was a two-game difference, a two-game swing before these teams. Buffalo Bills got all the accolades nationally, like they will tomorrow, that they're now the team to beat. Even though Baltimore blew a 20-3 lead against them earlier this year, even though they already have another loss this year to the Dolphins, who are not playing good football right now, and I get it, Tua's out, but he didn't play defense. Can they maintain this? Can they maintain the target on their back? Because last time, people used this as a litmus test between Mahomes and Josh Allen. All right, who's the better one? Mahomes now 3-2 against Josh Allen. Allen gets that W today. But the important thing is, Mahomes has the postseason wins. And I'm from the Show Me State. It's like, okay, beat him in the postseason, then we'll see. This is cute. This is nice. You beat the Chiefs in the regular season. Do it in the postseason. Because Buffalo wasn't able to maintain last year. You know, they had to play a road divisional game against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. Why? Because they collapsed and they choked down the stretch, losing 41-15 to the Colts and later to Jacksonville. Last year at this time, the week after, they went to Tennessee and lost. It's a good football team. These are the two best football teams. I was expecting this, and I wasn't going to make a decision one way or the other because these will be the teams to beat in the AFC. The Super Bowl will go through Buffalo or Kansas City. What you saw today will be a prelude for what happens later in this year. After the game, the Chiefs all want to see the Bills again. There was no bulletin board material on either side. There's respect between these two teams. You know, Buffalo, after the game, they didn't act like a bunch of jackasses like other teams do when they beat the Chiefs, and they want to throw a parade like the Baltimore Ravens did last year. Why? Because they know they'll see them again, and they know they can't rest. That's why they were going for it all the time on fourth down. They didn't want to get the Chiefs an opportunity to come down and win the football game, because last year, they were able to come down and tie the game, send overtime in 13 seconds, and they know how fast they can do it. Look at the end of the half when they get the field goal by Harrison Butker, the 62-yard record. But I didn't change my opinion about these teams. I went into it saying, all right, my top two MVP candidates are Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. The top two teams in the AFC and the NFL, for that matter, are the Chiefs and the Bills. And I know the Eagles, undefeated, Sunday Night Football right now versus the Dallas Cowboys. But it didn't change my opinion. Yeah, there are definite warts to the Kansas City Chiefs. The good news is, Juju got his first touchdown, got over 100 yards. You need to see that kind of production. I was really disappointing in the tackling today by the Chiefs. I felt like they gave Buffalo extra opportunities, gave them extra yards, just like last week when they could have stopped the Raiders to like a 4th-and-5, 4th-and-6, but it'd be in 4th-and-1 because they couldn't tackle, and the Raiders ended up scoring a touchdown there. They went for the juggler on 4th-and-1. The Bills were going for it all the time. At the right time, they know how to play the Chiefs. You're going to play the Chiefs at Arrowhead, you go for it. And that's what makes them scary, because they're very good at it. Second highest scoring team in the NFL. And again, this defense was outstanding for Buffalo. This defense for Buffalo is better than the Chiefs. This defense is tied for scoring defense number one in the NFL, and they're number two in total defense. This defense is good. And again, give Mahomes the first or second best defense in the NFL and see where it'd be. That's where I kind of got to put the limitations when I judge Mahomes versus Allen. One's got a much better defense than the other. But the tackling's been bad, and they can't run the football. Like, not running the football will come back and bite them. When they're running the football, things go well. Remember a couple years ago when the pandemic and nobody was in the stands and they played in Buffalo? It wasn't Mahomes throwing, it was running the football. And you should be able to run the ball behind this line. You're not seeing an eight-man front. Everybody's so cognizant of what Mahomes is going to do, they back up. You should be able to run the football. That's the one thing the Chiefs need is consistency in their running game. I mean, it's 3.7 yards a pop. Look, Buffalo was an aggressive team. They were going after Mahomes. I mean, Von Miller got 2 sacks today. Well, what a great offseason move. They got Von Miller to go after Patrick Mahomes. That was the signing they did for this game and the game that's going to happen in January. That was Von Miller. And you're going to see Von Miller again. But these teams had respect for each other because they know they'll see each other again. It's the way things are. These are the two best teams in the AFC. This is the rivalry you've been wanting. This is Manning versus Brady. But I will say this. Allen needs to start winning something. Josh Allen needs to start going to the Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl before we throw Tom Brady and Peyton Manning on him like everybody else does in the NFL. Mahomes has been to 4 straight AFC title games. There's only a 3-game separation between Mahomes and Allen. Mahomes has far better statistics than Josh Allen. 3 games separate those two guys. You know, one's a 4-time All-Pro, one's a 1-time All-Pro, one's been to 2 Super Bowls, the other one hasn't. One's won an MVP, the other one hasn't. One's won a Super Bowl MVP, the other one hasn't. The one who has is Patrick Mahomes. But again, you're going to see this, but again, the Bills need to, you know, finish things up before we crown them. But what? Definite issues, I think, with the Chiefs. As I mentioned, the running game. Nick Bolton continues to be the most consistent tackler for the Chiefs, 13 tackles today. But I didn't change my opinion on these two teams. I don't know what you expect today at Arrowhead Stadium. I expected a close game down to the wire, and that's exactly what we got today. But now it's time to hear from you.
Let's go no huddle.
Edwards-Helaire gets the handoff off the first hit, off the second hit, off the third hit, and into the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Taking your calls now at 913-586-7610.
No huddle, brought to you by Silverstein Eye Centers, Kansas City's most trusted eye doctors. The phone number, 913-586-7610, the same as the J Southland Toe Service text line, 913-586-7610. Can't wait to hear what you all have to say today. Give us a call, 913-586-7610, and we'll go out here. We'll hear from Josh Klingler as well, sideline reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll hear from him later. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com as well. And we'll hear from the locker room, hear from Mahomes, Andy Reid, you name it. Von Miller did speak today as well. I mean, keep this in mind. As much as you don't want to like Von Miller, you know, before the game, he had a Derek Thomas shirt on. That was his idol. That's why he wore 58 in Denver, switched to 40 out in Buffalo. But he wore that because of the great late Derek Thomas. So that's cool to see. You know, this respect factor that goes between both these teams. I mean, I get nothing but respect for the Bills and what they do. I'm not going to, you know, downplay them like I do a lot of the other teams in the NFL. I do feel that they're legit. But I do feel that they need to start winning. They need to start winning because ultimately in the NFL, that's how you're judged. Let's go to the phone lines right now, the Silverstein Eye Center phone lines. Go to Big T and Shawnee. What's up, Big T?
Hey, Big Bink. How you been, man? Good talking with you, buddy.
Good, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, man. You know, I'm not disappointed. You know, I'm a little, I'm not going to say I'm happy, but, you know, hey, it's only a regular season game. What happened last year? Oh, the Bills this. Oh, the Bills that. Oh, the Bills vaunted defense. And what happened later on in the season? They lost a couple games. They gave away home field advantage. And you know what, Bink? Sometimes the Chiefs, if you ask me, they play damn good on the road. So I don't care if we want to play them in our backyard, at Arrowhead, at their place, at a neutral site. We're going to kick their ass next time. And here's why. Our defense played well today. I know our corners got burned, but those were rookies. We're missing Fenton. We're missing McDuffie. We're missing Gay. We're missing Wharton's out for the year. Dana is out. And then you have that Brian Cooks is out. So, you know what I'm saying? We've got a lot of injuries. But you know what? I'm a good fan, and we got a good town here. I'm not blaming it on injuries because the guys played well. They stuck it together. It was two great teams battling. The guys knew from last year we cannot let the Chiefs have the ball back. We got the ball back, though, but our guy threw the interception, and that's going to happen. I'm not down on the Chiefs. We're going to get them later, everybody. Just hang tight. Stay tough. It's Sean McDormand. He can't beat us in the playoffs, Bink. And, you know, I'm sick of hearing it, Buffalo this, Buffalo that. We're going to find out how good you are, Buffalo, because we're coming for your asses. We're not going to be complacent. We'll have our guys healthy, and we're going to stay healthy, and we're coming for some Buffalo ass later in the playoffs. And as always, let's go Chiefs. Choo-choo! Choo-choo! Choo!
There you go, Big T and Shawnee right there. And that's the other thing, too. And that's a good point. I mean, look who the Chiefs were playing. McDuffie didn't, you know, first round pick, didn't play. You know, Fenton didn't play in this game. You're going against Josh Allen, arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And you've got a couple draft picks playing. You got Jalen Watson selected the 7th round out of Washington State. You have Joshua Williams drafted from Fayetteville State this year in the 4th round playing against Josh Allen. Okay? Put Mahomes against two rookies drafted in the 4th round or later. Seriously. And see what happens in that situation. Again, it's all relative. James in Joplin. What's up, James?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call for one. Yeah, I mean, as far as the statistic goes on any player or what year they, you know, came in or if they're rookies or not, it just don't look well coached. It don't look well put together. It just doesn't look like professional football.
Who doesn't? The Chiefs?
Yeah, the Chiefs. I mean,
what did you say? I'm just curious. What did you say, James, after Jalen Watson, the rookie 7th round pick, took a 99-yarder to help the Chiefs win a game early season? I'm just curious what you said. Was he well coached then? Was the rookie well coached then? Was the 7th round pick well coached when he took a 99-yard touchdown to the house? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you can make one play, and that doesn't make the whole player, you know.
He won a damn game.
Let's see if he goes to the Pro Bowl, you know.
That doesn't matter. Who cares about that?
Well, you know, like you said, we got a bunch of rookies that are out there running around, and that's on beach, you know. So, you know, more or less, you're throwing beach under the bus on that one.
How am I throwing beach under the bus? I think he's did an outstanding job. Are you doing it, James?
I don't think he has.
You're twisting my words, James. I'm hanging up on you because you're an idiot. I never said that. I said Brett Veach has done a fantastic job. You're the one that has a problem with the rookies. You're the one that has a problem with the Veach. I don't. You know, I keep hearing this Orlando Brown deal. Is Orlando Brown going to work out for the Chiefs? They're disappointed in him. Well, I have two questions for you. One, who else would you have signed? Okay, give me that name. Instead of just saying, oh, they shouldn't have done that. Well, tell me who they should have done. And two, do you like Nick Bolton? Do you like the leader in tackles on this team for the last 2 years? Do you? The guy that wears the green dot on the defense, the guy that's going to be Derek Johnson for this team, do you like him? Because guess what? If they don't make that deal with Orlando Brown, you don't have him. He was pick 58 in the draft that came over in that trade. The Chiefs got pick 58. So if we want to bash that move, bash Orlando Brown here. No, but the trades have been great. The draft picks have been incredible for the Kansas City Chiefs. I have no problem with that. It sounds like you do, James. Let's go to Eli in Burlington, Kansas. What's up, Eli?
Hey, after today's rushing game, do you think we need to go after a running back possibly at the trade line like McCaffrey or Cam Akers?
No. McCaffrey'd be a mistake. And I get it, his contract this year, Carolina's paid most of it. It would be very, you know, team friendly, less than $1 million. But Carolina wants 2 first round picks. You want to do that?
Yeah,
for a guy that's always hurt?
Something I don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Running back's a dime a dozen. We know that. It goes to the hot hand. I mean, Pacheco maybe increase his load. You know, he's fine. He's got 4.37 speed. Maybe give him more and more carries as you go. McKinnon has his games where he really shows things. But it is disappointing because being a running back for Patrick Mahomes is probably the best situation you could be in the NFL.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. But I think we'll definitely get better as the season goes on. This was just a bad game for a rushing game, but we'll do a lot better as the season moves forward.
You know, it was a game that, you know, listen, it was a close game, 24-20. The two best teams, that was a Super Bowl favorite, Vegas Super Bowl favorite, Buffalo Bills, that they just played. You know, that is a team, that's the only team in the NFL that can boast top 2 in offense and defense, Buffalo. You know, that's a good football team. That is a well-put-together football team. On both sides of the ball, they're not lopsided. They're tops in both offense and defense. It didn't matter, though. Did they look any better than the Chiefs? I mean, both teams played decent defense. I mean, the over-under on this thing was insane, people betting the over. I mean, it was lopsided, people betting the over in this game. Because there's two highest-scoring teams in the NFL, two teams scoring over 30 points a game. But you got defense tonight, defense, defense, defense in this game. And, you know, can you really definitively say what's going to happen in the next one after this one? I can't. You know, as far as who, being a road quarterback at home field advantage, didn't affect Josh Allen playing Arrowhead. I don't think it affected Mahomes playing on the road either. You know, he has no road playoff games. He's got 2 neutral site games, a Super Bowl. However, You could put a caveat on one of those because, remember, he played Tampa in their home stadium in the Super Bowl. So, technically, one true road game in the playoffs, and he's been the four straight AFC title games. He's got home field advantage, but quarterback play travels. Like, I expect good things if he had to go out in Buffalo. Coming up next, though, we'll hear from the sideline reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs, also co-host Fesco in the Morning, Josh Klingler, next.
You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show.
And welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show. Having a little technical difficulties as we sit there. And we'll be joined by Josh Klingler in just a second right now on the Silverstein Eye Center's hotline. Josh Klingler, what's up, Kling?
Good evening, Bank. I heard you kind of on my way out of the stadium here, and I'm kind of with you. I'm like, you know, disappointed they lost the game, but no way, shape, or form devastated. And I think there's quite a few positives to be able to take out of this one, and then obviously stuff that you'll be able to build on. Not the best day at times for the run game. I'm with a lot of people, I think, that felt like that they kind of abandoned the run game when it wasn't going. And then, you know, Patrick Mahomes probably didn't have his best game either. But I think there are plenty of positives, and I'm not as down and devastated dropping that one as I thought maybe I would have. You know, if you'd have told me they'd lost the game heading in, I think I would have felt a lot more bummed than I walk out of there feeling.
It's not like the Chiefs blew it as the favorite. You know, they were the underdog for the first time in Mahomes' history in 41 games. Bills are a good team. It's a top two team in offense and defense. The Chiefs will never see another team like that this year. And this doesn't. I don't think anything happens because of this. What happens last year? Last year the Chiefs got bombed by the Bills. They go to 2-3. The Bills go to 4-1, and everybody thought the sky was falling. Then what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's not over either. I mean, do they have a leg up on you know, the AFC home field? Yeah, they do. They had that last year, too, and it didn't come to fruition. So there's still a lot of football to be played. I think their division is tougher overall than we thought it was heading into the season, right? So they got some tough games ahead, too. I know the Chiefs have a tough schedule. Bills have a tough schedule. I don't think it's over by any means in the division. Although, you know, I walk out of that stadium saying, yeah, those are still the best two teams in the AFC. Maybe I do have to flip the order since the Bills won that game. But, you know, I still think those are the two best teams in the AFC, and those are probably going to be the two teams that are left standing at the end. I just assume it not be, you know, January 29th in Buffalo, but that may be more self-serving than anything because I might have to go buy a winter coat.
Yeah, you know we'll definitely see these teams again. They're on a collision course. I didn't think the Chiefs played their best game. I don't think the Bills played their best game either. I think that's one of the things where you say, well, the Chiefs didn't play their best game. Okay, well, I don't think offensively the Bills played their best game either. Kling, I'll tell you what, Yane, you have a bird's eye view down there on the sidelines. And I know that Chris Jones got away with that trip for that sack. But there were two just egregious penalties. I mean, Juju getting a 15-yarder for taunting when he didn't even really look at anybody and pointed to a first down, that play, and then the pass interference, offensive pass interference by Travis Kelce, he did nothing. He actually did less than Gabe Davis did on his touchdown.
Yeah, that penalty was egregious. Obviously, Juju's on the other side of the field from where I'm at, so I don't see anything. That felt like a reactionary, well, he must have said something if he's looking at the sidelines deal, right? So almost like an automatic flag. There was a lot of discussions with officials today. I think it felt like a basketball game where you're kind of working the officials throughout a game. There was a lot of that going on, certainly on the Chiefs sideline. But yeah, to have Kelce have a play like that where he's got three or four plays every game where he's getting manhandled and not getting flags, to call one on him in that situation was pretty ridiculous. So yeah, probably not the best day in that that regard yet again. And then obviously you're just taunting the Chiefs fans who are still fresh off of their booing of the crew on Monday night.
You know what? They were in form today as well. I mean, it's almost like they're getting afraid to call things. Brad Allen, his crew today, it's kind of like, hey, you stop and pause a bit because Chiefs fans will let you know about your bad goals.
Yeah. The other one that I thought stood out was the illegal man downfield on Creed Humphrey, too. Yeah. I thought that was that one was a kind of an iffy one as well. So kind of some strange flags. Didn't ultimately, be the difference maker. I thought the difference maker today was Von Miller. He's your mercenary. He's your guy. Basically what Stephon Diggs did for the Bills offense, Von Miller is doing for the Bills defense. It just kind of puts them over the top defensively. He was a menace. He helped set up that final interception as well. I mean, he took on two blockers and still forced Patrick Mahomes to have to move outside of the pocket and throw. So he was an absolute wrecking ball, and that's good money spent. I mean, obviously at the end of it, it's going to be a Super Bowl or bust when it comes to that contract, but that's exactly the type of play you expect when you sign somebody of that magnitude, and Von Miller lived up to it today for sure.
Yeah, I can't think of a better signing in the NFL. That's exactly what they needed. The Chiefs are their nemesis. The Chiefs are their kryptonite. Everything they think about in the offseason is Kansas City. Every single thing they think about, it's what they do, the moves that they make. They talk about the 13 seconds. They're like infatuated with Kansas City, but I can't think of a better move than Von Miller. And we've seen teams try different stuff to slay the Chiefs. That one seemed to be in a good move.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And I still think like the back end of that contract's not great, but and the total money's not great, but I guess they can get away from it in a few years. But if they win a Super Bowl, they won't care. That'll feel like, hey, whatever amount of money it took to get him recruited there, if they win a Super Bowl, obviously it's gonna pay off. But yeah, he was I guess typical Von Miller today. I don't think it's anything different than we hadn't seen in Von Miller. I was just when he went to LA last year, Big, I don't know about you, when he went to LA last year, I'm like, boy, I hope the wheels have fallen off. This feels like is this it? And clearly he had a ton left in the tank and still does because he was a game record type today. I thought their linebacker Milano was also outstanding today. Then I thought, defensively for the Chiefs, I don't think the Chiefs played badly on defense today, except for a couple of plays. I would love them to stop the run maybe a little bit more. Singletary, I thought, got going, especially early to kind of set the tempo. Hey, Joshua Williams had a tough day at the office. You threw a rookie out there, and he had to go kind of one-on-one coverage against guys. And I got a chance to talk to him after the game, and I thought kind of real stand-up dude, considering he had two of the bigger plays defensively. But hey, you gamble like the Chiefs do defensively. Sometimes you're going to get burned. I think that was the situation there. You'd love to say, hey, give the guy some over-the-top help, but you're allocating resources to blitzing and doing all those types of things. It's kind of a gamble. A defense at times where you may take your lumps, and certainly on those two fade patterns, the Chiefs or the Bills, I should say, got the better of the Chiefs against Joshua Williams.
Yeah, the chess match was interesting in this. We're talking to Josh Klingler, sideline reporter for the Chiefs, also co-host Fesco in the morning. The chess match between teams, Milano spying Mahomes, I thought that worked out extremely well for Buffalo. In Kansas City, still feeling, all right, how can they handle Josh Allen? Because like Mahomes, he's good against the blitz. They had success with the blitz, kind of disrupting what he did there in the first half. He adjusted to it. So I think both these teams kind of feeling each other out for down the road.
Yeah, there were good adjustments both sides. I mean, yeah, it looked like in the first half, certainly that Steve Spagnuolo's ability to send blitzes from any number of directions was confusing the Bills, and they did settle down. And then him, I thought, his biggest play was the run and the hurdle of Justin Reed. I mean, that's like we've had those Mahomes highlight moments where we go, oh man, that was the play. And certainly offensively, I thought that was the play for the Bills. His ability to take off and run. Good team. Well-balanced. I think there's a lot of bright spots, though, for the Chiefs, even coming out of the loss. Go get a win next week and then head into the bye week. You're going to be feeling pretty good about where you're at. And I just don't think that the AFC race is over by any means.
Yeah, remember this team was 3-4. It was 2-3, then 3-4. I mean, they kept trying to dig themselves out of being under 500. And they ended up making the AFC title game and had home field advantage. So that's the thing with the Chiefs. It's kind of like just calm down on what they do. I didn't know this, Kling. James Palmer just tweeted this out. I didn't realize Jordan Poyer, the safety for the Bills, really a damn good player for them. I didn't realize he wasn't allowed to fly. He drove in a car from Buffalo just to play
terrible
in this game. Because it was, he wasn't cleared to fly because of his rib injury. To me, a 15-hour car ride is better than that. I don't know why the hell they didn't let him fly.
I guess it was something with the pressure in the cabin or what have you. But a 15-hour car ride sounds, I mean, we've all done it, right? We've all done the family road trips
with
or whatever.
Kids, yeah.
I mean, I like to drive, so it's not as big a deal, but you know what's really great? Charter flight.
Yes.
So when you have the option to take a charter flight that was probably, you know, a couple hours, 2.5 hours, whatever, probably from Buffalo, this had to be quite a bit different. So I guess it's good that they have the bye. Good evening to Jordan Poirier for listening, I guess, tonight on your way out. You guys got a nice win here at Arrowhead. I think everybody's looking forward to seeing these two teams go at it again a little bit later.
Yeah, I'll give him credit, man. I'll give him credit. That's some tough guy stuff right there. I want to play so bad I'll get in the car and drive 15 hours. Like, yeah, hats off to Poirier doing that, because that's man stuff right there.
Yeah, and then whoever the poor, like, defensive assistant, whatever, that probably ended up driving with him, you know.
Probably compensated well, though, Kling.
Yeah, I suppose, but you probably feel like it got a little bit down the pecking order of, you know, assistance.
Quality control, baby.
By the way, you need to ride with Jordan Poirier in a car to Kansas City. And they're like, what? Like, yeah, no, you need to ride with I guess maybe just takes the equipment truck back or something.
I don't know what he's doing.
It's like, I don't know.
Hey, Larry, get the keys. You're taking Poirier to KC.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's a road trip.
It is a road trip. Kling, thanks a million. We'll be listening to you at 5:58 in the morning with Fesco in the morning. Looking forward to my friend Josh Kling, the sideline reporter of the Kansas City Chiefs, and, of course, co-host Fesco in the morning. Thanks, Kling.
Thanks, Bink.
There you go, Josh Klingler right there. Yeah, the penalties were ridiculous in this game. And, you know, here's the thing. I love football. I love the NFL. But I'll be honest with you, they're running the game. They are absolutely running the game. I said the same thing last week. I'll say it again now. I mean, you want to get excited about something, and you like don't feel like you can because of ticky-tack nonsense. Like, that's what we see in the NFL. We see guys pointing for first down. Is that taunting? Are you going to start calling that every time? Because you know what? The Bills did it. Juju does on the sideline, but he didn't really staring at anybody. That's the crap that happens in the NFL. Just go back to Matt Ryan and Chris Jones talking trash. What, he hurt his feelings? Got a 50 that prolonged the Colts drive. Probably a reason for the Chiefs having an L was that play. Or Chris Jones taking the football and landing on his arm and getting one for Derek Carr, which Derek Carr couldn't believe they even called that. That's dumb. Yeah, he did get away with the tripping, but you know what? It's inconsistencies. And Travis Kelce's push-off, it wasn't. Tony Romo calls it like it's seen. He thought it was extremely soft. I thought it was soft. Go back and look at Gabe Davis's touchdown for the Bills. He pushes off. Like, tell me the difference between the two. You can't. I'm shocked Kelce didn't get the call because of who he is and what he's done in this league. But they're running it. There's millions of dollars on the line from gamblers in these games. There are people spending their hard-earned money going to watch these games. And you know what? They're ripping them off. They're ripping off everybody that pays money to go see the NFL because of these ridiculous penalties that they can't get on the same page. Now, they're hiring more and more officials to be full-time instead of part-time because a lot of them are lawyers, insurance agents, you name it. But they have a billion-dollar product with that kind of crap officiating. That's a joke. That's a complete joke what they're doing to the NFL. Hate to see it. Let's take one more phone call before we take a break and hear from Pete Sweeney. Let's go to Lone Jack and talk to Neil. What's up, Neil?
Hey, Jay, man. Good evening. Man, you got me a little riled up with this referee talk, but I'm not going to go there because I don't think they were the real reason we lost tonight. They weren't good. They weren't good, and I agree with you 100% about the Gabriel Davis crap call because he did push off. But, I mean, Mike Williams has been doing it for years, and they never call it against him. But anyway, that's not what I want to talk about, Jay. I want to echo some of the same things, really, that Big T was saying tonight. I mean, and you guys have been saying, you know, young cornerbacks. I thought there was a good chance that was going to ruin this game for us. But the good news is, overall, we didn't play well, and we still had a chance to win. Yeah, Buffalo didn't necessarily play their best game. We didn't play our best game. The fact is, we had a chance to win. We didn't get it done. The one thing I am going to get pretty upset about and bitch about tonight is, you know, Andy Reid can talk about all he wants and then baby these guys in the media, and Patrick can talk about it and baby these guys in the media. Andrew Wiley and Orlando Brown, y'all suck tonight. And that's the biggest reason, in my opinion, we lost this game, is because the offensive line wasn't good enough. I said all week, if the offensive line plays the way they played against Tampa Bay, we'll win this game going away. They didn't, and they got to get better. It's like turnstiles out there, and that's the reason Patrick's running around like a chicken with his head cut off throwing interceptions, because he's not comfortable in the pocket. He's not comfortable in general, and that is unacceptable. Can't win a Super Bowl like that. We've seen it firsthand. Jay, thank you for taking the call. Have a great night. Go Chiefs. We'll get him back in January, no doubt about it.
Go slam a beer, Neil. Go slam a beer. Relax. But I'm with you. The offensive line, they're not run blocking either. I mean, have they been a problem? Yeah. A good offensive line, you get the best Patrick Mahomes you can get. Right now, you're not getting the best Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, you're paying him $500 million, but you're not getting everything out of him when he's running for his life. Like, you are not getting the 100% Patrick Mahomes experience at all until you start blocking. But him running around, I mean, you need to start seeing him step up. Exactly why they brought in Von Miller for situations like that. Now, it was like this beginning last year and then started taking shape. But you would think at this point in the year that things would take shape already. We'll talk to Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, when we come back.
You're listening to the Arrowhead Pride Postgame Show, presented by Andy's Frozen Custard. Tune in Mondays at 7:30 for our weekly conversation with Derek Johnson on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show. The Chiefs fall to the Buffalo Bills today in their 53rd lifetime meeting. Fall to the Buffalo Bills 24-20. And, there's things, the officiating that drove me nuts. We'll get to all that. We'll hear from the locker room, hear from the players and all that. But right now I want to talk to Pete Sweeney. He's our Chiefs insider. His appearance is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook, and the official sportsbook of 610 Sports Radio. We'll go out and hear from Pete now. Who didn't drive 15 hours to the game like Jordan Poyer? What's up, Pete?
No, just about 15 minutes for me, and obviously in Kansas City tonight, that feels almost too much after the Chiefs were disappointing at the end there, for sure.
Do you think Jordan Poyer, who I don't know if you saw this or heard me talking about it, but he couldn't fly, wasn't cleared with his ribs, so he got in the car and went 15 hours to Kansas City?
Yeah, you know what? You got to respect that.
That 100%.
Shows some determination. You know, the guy has an injury, probably could have easily stayed at home. But I think that's just another sign. And this was what I was saying going into this game. It's just another sign of how much I think this game meant to the Bills organization. And certainly one of the leaders of that team on the defensive side of the football in Poyer, so not very comfortable on the road to Kansas City, but I imagine the 15 hours back are going to feel better than those coming here after getting that win that we know that they wanted.
They did want this win, but I'll tell you this much, Pete. I don't know if you noticed it or if you look. I know you're busy with your post-game wrap-up and stuff like that, but, you know, the Bills acted like they'd been there before. You know, usually we see when teams beat the Chiefs, they throw a little mini celebration like they won the Super Bowl. The Bills didn't do that. It was a very respectful deal because they know they'll see the Chiefs again, and they don't want to put anything else in the Chiefs' heads.
Yeah, and look, the same thing happened last year, right? And I think that's part of it, where the Bills took care of business in the regular season. You get to the playoffs, and you realize that it doesn't matter what happens in the regular season if you can't get it done in the postseason. And it's early now. There's a long way to go. I do think this is a little bit better of a Bills team, which makes this scarier, you know, just from a pure numbers standpoint. Now the Bills are a game ahead, but when you talk about the AFC conference and whether it's 1-2, et cetera, it's really two games ahead because they're one game ahead in the record, and then if they were to end with a tie, now the Bills would get the advantage because they got the head-to-head. So going to Buffalo is a very real possibility, but it's still just a possibility at this point. A lot can happen in the NFL. Teams lose all the time. There are injuries, yada, yada. So we'll end up seeing. But it is right now a significant advantage for Buffalo.
No question about it, but it was the same thing last year, you know, Pete. They came to Kansas City. They went 4-1. Chiefs went to 2-3. They theoretically had a two-game advantage over the Chiefs. People are freaking out saying, well, it goes through Buffalo now. But you know what? It didn't. It came through Kansas City. So until Buffalo can prove that they can wear the target on their back, I'm not going to give it to them.
Yeah, and losses happen all the time. I mean, yep. This is a team that has division games left. You know, even though they're in a weaker division, I believe, instead of Kansas City, even though you do have the Dolphins and Jets coming on a little bit.
You know
bit.
What the Patriots, man? Don't forget about them. They've been playing good football the last couple weeks.
They can drop games as well, right? And so, you know, you'll see. You got to see. The thing that stands out now, and this is just the reality, is the Chiefs have to have a better pure record. And that'll be a little bit more challenging, but it's week six. Is it impossible? Certainly not.
No, it's not. But, Pete, overall, when you look at the Chiefs, they play their best game, not even close to it. Did the Buffalo Bills play their best game? No, I don't think anything close to it. So both these teams didn't play their best game, and I come out of this game saying either team could have won. I didn't see domination by either one of them like sometimes you feel at the end of games, even though the NFL has a lot of close games. I didn't feel like one of these teams was that much better than the other one.
No, and you know, when it comes down to it, the Bills got a little bit healthier offensively than they had been lately, and the Chiefs were missing Willie Gay Jr. and Trent McDuffie, and I think particularly against this opponent, Willie Gay and the athleticism that he brings to the table is going to make a big difference. You didn't ever shot Fenton as well. I know Fenton has had his struggles, but I think, you know, sometimes a veteran cornerback is good to have, especially in these types of situations. And so, you know, you don't want to make excuses because the Chiefs were right there. They could have won the game at the end. They had a minute plus and two timeouts. So I think you take that if you're Kansas City, right? Like, not ideal necessarily, but I think you would have taken that in with Patrick Mahomes. But, yeah, I mean, I there are certain things that you could point to that should be different if and when this team meets in January, where maybe that does make the difference in a game against this team.
What do you think Mahomes would have done to a fourth and seventh round pick this year playing in a football game as corners?
Yeah, it would have been nice. That's a nice advantage, certainly. They are running their first rounder. I've gone back to that where, you know, I do think McDuffie and Elam are going to be compared to each other. But yep. Big difference when it's a first rounder who was able to make that play. And you have Joshua Williams, who you're able to, you know, be picked on. And that was something I wrote in my rapid reaction. We'll have to dive into the film. But this is, you know, a couple weeks in a row where you're having these elite receivers go after these young cornerbacks, and it feels questionable. Not to say that it's all on Steve Spagnuolo, all on Joshua Williams, because I think it's an extremely tall task to go up one-on-one with Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, and I think the offense left some room to be desired as well. But that when you look back at the game, Joshua Williams, and really his first career start-ish, you know, I know he didn't even get the technical start, but, you know, it was playing time that would equate to a starter. He's one-on-one with Stephon Diggs. It just doesn't feel like a recipe for success. But then you start to ask questions, well, if the Chiefs aren't blitzing as much, are they having success in the first half? And, you know, there's a million different questions that you could ask as to why they lost. But I don't know. That point really stuck out to me. I just was surprised that you're going to leave this guy sort of out on an island against these. And Gabe Davis is coming to that Diggs point as well, these elite-ish receivers. I don't know about that particular gameplay.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't roll over and help him out a little bit more. I'm 100% with you on that. But it seemed like the Chiefs, like both teams, like history would say you don't blitz Mahomes and Allen. They'll make you pay. But the Chiefs did have success blitzing Allen there and making him feel uncomfortable. Then Allen readjusted and came back. I saw a lot of feeling out the quarterbacks between these teams still, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't for the next meeting.
Yeah, and I think both teams realize that, and I think there is an aspect of, even in this game, and I know it sounds crazy, but even like a week six game, it's like how much do you show? Like how different is the game plan going to be when you do get to a playoff matchup between these two teams? Because it really felt like it was the two best teams in the AFC tonight. The Chiefs, you know, made too many mistakes, weren't able to get it done, but it does feel like we're going to run through the next 11 weeks, and it's just kind of going to be us buying time until these two teams face again, whether that be right here in Kansas City or in Buffalo.
Last question for you, Pete. You concerned at all? You concerned more with the offensive line or the running game?
Well, I think both have to do with each other. I guess if I'm picking one, it's the offensive line because, you know, at times we've seen these running backs have success. And when there are holes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has had good games. Jerick McKinnon has had good snaps. Even Isaiah Pacheco has had his share, stemming back to even, you know, what would be the preseason. what's tough about this is, and I heard the point that you made before, and I agree with it, you're sacrificing a little bit of the value and all-world quarterback that Patrick Mahomes brings to the table. And I think because the interior is so good, and, you know, you think about what's the most important part of an offensive line, it's the tackle positions, because you have these opposing defenses and they're putting their best players. Where are they usually? I mean, they're usually attacking the outside, unless you're maybe Kansas City or L.A., yep. The Rams, right? So, like, you're almost – Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney, they are dogs, but it doesn't really matter when – Orlando Brown goes through some struggles. I know he had a good pancake tonight when, you know, you have guys going up against Andrew Wiley and Von Miller is spinning him out of his shoes. But does it really matter that you have a good interior? I mean, I don't know about that. And you're seeing the lack of push in the run game really hurt the Chiefs, because we've seen it in recent years, and more in recent years than at the beginning of this thing when nobody knew what to do with Patrick Mahomes. The offense, and even by extension the passing offense, is a lot better when the Chiefs show an ability early in games to run the football. You see the difference in those type of games, and they're really missing that with this offensive line, both from a run blocking standpoint and I think even a pass blocking standpoint. And so I guess if I had to pick, it's the offensive line, and I don't really know if there's a solution, right? I think Orlando Brown on the franchise tag isn't losing his job anytime soon. Maybe you try Lucas Niang. Maybe the Prince, Tego Inogo, gets a shot at right tackle somewhere down the line if you feel like you can upgrade. The Chiefs have shown in previous years they're not afraid to try guys along the offensive line. So I would be intrigued once Lucas Niang, they feel like he's ready to come off what would be that PUP list. You know, does he maybe get an opportunity there? Remains to be seen.
Pete, I know I said final question, but I do have to ask about the 62-yarder by Bucker. I know he did miss one, but – that thing was going to be good for 70 against the wind. It was insane. And we saw the record fall within a week.
You could see on the sideline, even the play before, I think it would have been like 70 yards. I
100%.
Think Butcher wanted that one. Yeah, I think he wanted that one. And the confidence that he has in himself is incredible. Now, I think a lot of fans are going to be saying, well, if you could make the 62, let's make the 51, right?
Yeah. Like,
you know, you should be making all your kicks. But, you know, that being said, it was a good moment in a tough night overall for Harrison Butker. And, you know, this guy in particular, I mean, he just takes his job so seriously. Like, you hear Justin Tucker talk, and Harrison Butker wants to be Justin. I think he's motivated by Justin Tucker, not in the sense of trying to mimic him. I think Harrison Butker wants to be considered the best kicker in the NFL. He's not there. But I think he's second or third, and you saw him tonight and the pride that he had in a replacement kicker having the longest field goal. How long did that last? It lasted 1 week, you know, because I think it really did tick him off. You got to have the opportunity too, and the Chiefs have that confidence in him to make that type of kick. And you see in these types of games where, you know, maybe it isn't against what would be an Arizona Cardinals, who we have seen as one of the weaker teams. But when you face these elite teams, the kicks matter, and the Chiefs were right there because he was able to make that kick. Would have been closer if they were able to make the other one, but still had an opportunity at the end. And that's all you want from your kicker. And kudos to him for getting the franchise record a week after it was set by someone else.
Well, Pete, you're the best insider by a landslide. I know you have TV, you got radio, you got a lot of stuff to do. Appreciate your time as always. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. Thanks, Pete.
All right, Jay.
There you go, Pete Sweeney, right there. Again, he didn't do it, Jared. He didn't do his little smell you later.
Oh, I clicked the mic button so that he wasn't able to.
I did too.
So I didn't want you to scream at me.
Sometimes I can't really get it as much, but we got it. I feel proud that we got it. Chiefs fall tonight to the Buffalo Bills. Ravens lost today too. And the one thing about it is Lamar Jackson's never lost to an NFC team. That's insane. But I've always thought of them as the third best team in the AFC. Buffalo, Kansas City, then Baltimore. You know, they've only trailed for like 14 seconds this season. I mean, it's not been much, but they can't close teams out. They blew that 23 lead to the Bills.
I was talking with my girlfriend about this a little bit earlier today, that good teams have find ways to win games. Bad teams find ways to lose games. I don't necessarily think the Ravens or the Chiefs, obviously, that we're talking about here are bad teams. But I do think that when there is a better team in front of you, you are put in that position. And you've seen that a couple of times with the Ravens this year.
100%. 100%. We come back. Touchdown Kansas City, brought to you by Tullamore Dew. The voice of Mitch Holtis calling the game.
It's time for Touchdown Kansas City.
Hartman waits for a block, and he gets the 15, 10, explodes, dives, the Jets!
Chiefs has landed the plane!
A highlight-filled summary of the game with the voice of Chiefs Kingdom, Mitch Holtis.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
That's right, touchdown, Kansas City. The voice of Mitch Holtis brought to you by Tullamore Dew. When it's game time, it's totally time. Well, the Buffalo Bills got things started off tonight, or today, this afternoon, whatever you want to call it. A field goal, 39 yards by Tyler Bass in the second quarter of this game. Remember, we didn't have any scoring in the first quarter for the two highest scoring teams in the NFL. 11 plays, 59 yards, 13:32 on the clock in the second quarter. But then the Chiefs would get right back on the board with what we like to call the Tully touchdown of the game. Yeah, it's going to be early tonight. The Tully touchdown of the game brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So raise a glass this week's Tully touchdown with Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. When it's game time, it's Tully time. It's right here.
McKinnon is the running back this time. Started wide. Now he's to the left hip of Mahomes. Creed Humphrey snaps it back to Mahomes at his belt. Mahomes trying to buy some time, moving to his right. Pump faking once, twice. Now comes back to the near side. Caught Smith-Schuster at the 30. Off a hit, 25, 20. Schuster 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. Juju Smith-Schuster, his first touchdown as a Kansas City Chief, is the 27th of his career.
And that was our Tully touchdown of the game, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Raise a glass this week's Tully touchdown with Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Juju, a 42-yard reception, a 43-yard reception. The yak. This is what they're expecting from Juju. You know, he's not the breakaway speed guy, but that tough yards after catch guy, and also a guy that can play X receiver and be a blocker, somebody they wanted a lot last season, goes over 100 yards tonight for the Kansas City Chiefs. Two guys over 100 yards with Juju and with Travis Kelce. But seeing somebody up step up in that situation, I thought was big for the Chiefs. Six plays, 79 yards, 201. Off the clock, 11:31 in the second quarter. That made the score 7-3 at this point. Kansas City Chiefs led this game, but Buffalo would get back on the board.
First and 10, Josh Allen, sellout blitz. Allen reads it, fade pattern, near side. Gabriel Davis with the catch and the touchdown, burning the rookie Joshua Williams. A 34-yard fade to score with 16 seconds remaining in the second quarter. The Chiefs selling out on the blitz, leaving one-on-one coverage with the rookie Joshua Williams on the outside against Gabriel Davis.
Yeah, that's right. Seven plays, 96 yards, took a minute 13 off the clock. Very quick strike, 16 seconds to go in the second quarter. And you're thinking, okay, not a good situation. Chiefs were going to get the ball back at the beginning of the second half. All right, here's the Buffalo Bills. And really, it was like the drive of the year against the Chiefs. We're talking about something, a third down right on their own goal line. I mean, they drove quickly on the Kansas City Chiefs. It was ridiculous how fast they moved down. Right at the one-yard line, third and 13. Then they end up getting down there, 1:18 on the clock to begin that drive. Just move right down the field against the Chiefs. And I will say this. Gabe Davis had a more pronounced push-off against the rookie Josh Williams, who they did leave on an island at times. They sacrificed blitzing Josh Allen to put Williams out on an island. But Gabe Davis, it was a more pronounced push-off, like twice as bad than what they called on Travis Kelce. It was ridiculous, but he does get it. With 16 seconds left in the second quarter, seven plays. They go seven plays, 96 yards in minute 13. But then something rarely we do is we put field goals, but this field goal deserves, this is what the Chiefs got right at the end of half. Remember, there's 16 seconds left on the clock. Chiefs quickly get in field goal range. It's going to take a long field goal against the win by Harrison Butker. Remember, the franchise record, the Arrowhead Stadium record, was set by Matthew Wright, who filled in for Butker last week, 59 yards until now.
10-7 Buffalo, 1 second remaining in the first half. The Chiefs will try a 62-yard field goal from Harrison Butker. Townsend waits for the go sign. Snap by Winchester. The kick is up. And the kick is up, and it is good! 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 At all time, Kansas City Chiefs record, 62-yard field goal. This time it only took 12 seconds for the Chiefs to get in position. And the Chiefs have now set another record, 19 straight games with a field goal make. This time, though,
from 62 yards, a Chiefs record to tie the game at 10.
As long as the Chiefs have been in business, they have back-to-back weeks where a record was set in field goal distance. But Butker, this thing could have gone probably 70. I mean, it would clear the uprights. It just kept going. Unbelievable kick. I know he missed one in this game as well, but he's been hurt. And he comes back. And remember when he kicked one in game one where he basically took one step because he was hurt and drilled, what, a 54-yarder? I mean, he drills a 62-yarder right there. It was so important for the Chiefs to get points going in to halftime there. And that tied the score up at 10-10 as you went into to halftime. But then in the third quarter, it would be the Buffalo Bills taking the lead.
7:19 to go, third quarter. Second down, 5. Buffalo at the Kansas City 17. Chiefs blitzing Allen, fade route near side. Stephon Diggs, and Diggs has the touchdown again, burning Joshua Williams. It's a 17-yard fade. It's the exact play against the all-out blitz the Chiefs ran near the end of the second quarter, and the Bills have a touchdown lead at 16-10 with 7:02 to go in the third quarter.
So the blitz clearly not working there in this little middle chunk of the game for the Kansas City Chiefs. Stephon Diggs, 17-yard TD pass from Josh Allen. Tyler Bass would kick the extra point. 6 plays, 59 yards, taking 3:13 off the clock. That touchdown came at 7:02 in the third quarter, making the score 17-10 Buffalo at that time. But the Kansas City Chiefs would tie the game up.
Hardman sprints in motion right to left in front of Mahomes, who barks out the calls. Now Hardman goes back the other way. Mahomes holding it, still holding it, waiting for a chance. Fires it late. Caught in the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Mecole Hardman with a gutsy catch in the TD in traffic, and the Chiefs could tie the game. What a catch by Hardman in the red zone with traffic.
Great call, great catch there in that situation. 7 plays, 83 yards, taking 4:18 off the clock, a 3-yard TD reception from Patrick Mahomes to Mecole Hardman. 2:44 left in the third quarter at this point. Harrison Butker in the fourth quarter would add a 44-yard field goal, an 8-play, 28-yard drive for the Kansas City Chiefs, making the score 20-17. Then, with a 1:04 left in the game after a Mahomes interception, well, it was the Buffalo Bills doing this.
Wide to the right is Gabriel Davis and Isaiah McKenzie. Diggs, so dangerous, wide to the left side along with Knox. Josh Allen on the near hatch at the Kansas City 14, retreating, backpedaling. Wants to get a guy open in the end zone, comes back to the ball. It is caught, and it's a touchdown by Dawson Knox. Burning Reed with 1:04 to go in the game. Dawson Knox, who has been a red zone threat, gets the touchdown, his 15th of his career.
And so that would be the final score, 24-20, when Dawson Knox got that touchdown. The 53rd meeting between the Bills and the Chiefs. The Bills, a 28-24-1 advantage in those 53 games. Andy Reid goes to 6-3 against the Buffalo Bills as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, that's right, they played 9 times. Patrick Mahomes goes to 3-2 in his career, regular season, postseason, against Josh Allen. He dropped the last 2 regular season games at Arrowhead Stadium to Josh Allen, but the last 2 playoff games, the only ones that matter, went to Patrick Mahomes. But really, that was the touchdown Kansas City, brought to you by Tullamore Dew, the voice of Mitch Holtis calling the game. But really, when you look back at what happened at the end of the half, I mean, the Chiefs were in prime position. And who knows what happens if they're able to get to Josh Allen. Remember, it was 3rd and 13, 1:18 left at the Buffalo 1. Josh Allen hits Gabe Davis for 18 yards. Then Josh Allen hits Dawson Knox for 3 yards. And then the big play, Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs for 30 yards before the 14-yard pass. And then, of course, the Tyler Bass extra point after the nice touchdown toss to Gabe Davis in that situation. But they moved the ball, 1:18 left. They were down 3rd and 13 at their 1-yard line. And that was the backbreaker. That little series right there, the defense allowing that to happen, considering you have all that noise, you got them backed up to where you want them. Like, if any place in the field, you want Buffalo right there in that situation if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. The defense has been playing good that drive, but it's 3rd and 13, and then everything just kind of went out the window. Everything we thought we knew with that game went out the window at that time. But, you know, for momentum purposes, the Chiefs were able to get the ball back, move right down, and Harrison Butker kicking that 62-yarder, an Arrowhead Stadium record, a franchise record, 62-yard field goal. So that was some kind of solace in the situation after Buffalo takes that lead. You get that 62-yarder, and then we go into halftime, come back, get the football. But the Chiefs unable to make the Buffalo Bills pay at that time. Our phone line, 913-586-7610, 913-586-7610. Your thoughts on this game. Any different thoughts? Any different thoughts on who you think the number one and two team in the AFC are? I've got no, my opinion didn't change at all. And keep in mind, Buffalo won this game 38-20. What, one of two Patrick Mahomes games where he lost by more than one possession? Like, he doesn't lose those type of games. But Buffalo went to 4-1 last year after beating the Chiefs. Chiefs went to 2-3. And the sky was falling, remember? Oh, I know it was because you get the text line. Sky was falling. Then the Chiefs able, you know, to come back. Then they're 3-4. Then they're trying to dig themselves out. And guess what? Oh, the AFC title game is in Kansas City for the fourth straight year. So I'm not willing to say this is Buffalo. I've heard that. Well, it's Buffalo's now. Two-game advantage, two-game swing, because they're up on Chiefs in the standings, plus they won the head-to-head. Well, that was last year, too. They were 4-1. The Chiefs were 2-3, and they beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So everything was the same. A two-game advantage plus home field advantage. But guess what? They couldn't hold on to it. They went to Tennessee the following week and lost. Then later in the season, they get hammered at home by the Colts, inexplicably, 41-15. And then they lost to the Jags, and we all know what a disaster that team and franchise was last year, and they lost to them. So you got to be able to maintain in this league because you got to be able to wear the target on your back. And again, this is what they'll be talking about on NFL Network and ESPN and everything else. Trust me. They'll be talking about Josh Allen versus Mahomes. Do we have, because they want Justin Herbert. They want that, but Justin Herbert and the Chargers, Justin Herbert watches the playoffs like I do on the couch. You know, like they want that, but yet they're kind of hesitant. And keep in mind, Mahomes and Allen, different divisions. You know, Brady and Manning were considered rivals, different divisions. They are the two best teams, the two best quarterbacks in the AFC. But for me to put Josh Allen on that level, again, he's a fantastic player, fantastic quarterback, but he's playing with the top two defense. Give me Mahomes and a number one defense going against two rookie corners, a fourth and a seventh round pick, and we'll see what happens. Flip this and we'll see what happens. If Mahomes was playing with that Buffalo Bills team today, we'll see what happens. He probably wins by 21 points if he's quarterback in that team, but he wasn't. But what he's doing is unbelievable. But you're going to hear this with Josh Allen. But again, he needs to go to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow's already been to the Super Bowl, you know. These young quarterbacks, he gets no love, no respect, even though he's beaten Mahomes twice. He gets no run. When they talk about best quarterbacks in the AFC, he gets no run. Josh Allen gets the bouquets. Well, how many Super Bowls Josh Allen been to? How many MVPs does he have on his wall? None. Will he get there? I think he will. But at this point, he didn't have any. But he needs to get to that point that you crown him. Because right now, you can't crown him. Because when the postseason happens, he doesn't. So that's a big problem with that situation. We're here from the Kansas City Chiefs in the locker room as well tonight. Plus, take your phone calls, 913-586-7610 on this game. Von Miller did say a few things on the game. And keep in mind, he had a tremendous game today, two sacks. This was the best offseason move in the NFL to me. This was something to counteract what the Chiefs are because the Chiefs are dancing like Fred Astaire on the Buffalo Bills' head since they can't beat him in the postseason. But here's Von Miller in the last series, flushing Mahomes out and them getting the W.
Howdy. I done came up in this stadium a whole bunch of times, and I done been at this same podium, and I ain't had no smile. So it's good to come in here and smile. It's good to do our job. Great team effort. It's my first time being back here in 2 years. It's a great stadium, great atmosphere. It just feels so good to go out there with my teammates to work towards something like this and to come out on top, man. It feels good. It's a great win for Bills Mafia, and we're gonna make the plane do backflips on the way home.
Can you describe what happened on the last play? You were chasing down and that led to the result.
I don't even know. I was just trying to get there. You know, Pat had been doing a great job of scrambling and getting away from a solid game, and you know, we just wanted to. You know, me, I'm in my head, I'm thinking I just got to get him down. Made an inside move. He flushed out. And we had, you know, Taron Johnson right there for the interception. So, you know, great team play. It just feels good to go out there and do your job.
What did Vaughn say? We're going to make the plane do backflips on the way home? But Jordan Poyer will be in a car. Like, poor Jordan Poyer with his rib injury, that's not able to fly, will be on a 15-hour car ride. Just chilling. He's got drivers. You know, he can just chill and do whatever. And I imagine this car is probably like a limo-type thing, Jen. I imagine Poyer's got the hookup. He's got a private, I mean, what kind of vehicle do you, it's not like he hopped in a Toyota Camry and came to Kansas City.
You don't think he's driving my Honda HR-V all the way out there?
There's nothing wrong with those cars at all, but he's probably stretching out, comfortable. I wouldn't doubt if this is real chilled ride.
Yeah, I would expect that from an NFL player.
Yeah, 15 hours. Von Miller talking about that and also talking about seeing the Chiefs again.
I've came into this stadium many times, you know, on my former team, and you know, I don't remember the last time we had smiles in that locker room, you know. So they've built a great team over there, and I'm sure this won't be the last time we see those guys. So, you know, I don't want to get those guys any bulletin board material or anything like that. So when we see them again, they'll be, you know, twice as ready to play us. You know, none of that. It was a hard-fought game today, and it came down to the very end, just like we expected it. Well, it was a great team win for the Buffalo Bills, and we're gonna celebrate this one tonight.
See, you know what? They should celebrate. You know what? Buffalo, I'll give them credit because after the game, you know, every game in the NFL, you celebrate it because you win, but they were showing respect as well. It's not like these other teams we've seen beat the Chiefs. Remember the Chargers last year? You would have thought they won the Super Bowl. I'm surprised they didn't get rings. Or when the Raiders did their victory lap, remember? I'm surprised they didn't get T-shirts made. I'm surprised they didn't, hey, we own Kansas City, even though they're 2-8 in the last 10 against them. The Ravens. You would have thought the harbor out there in Baltimore is getting ready to throw a parade and a party for the Ravens beating the Chiefs in the regular season. I mean, like, who cares? But they didn't. They were giving them respect. But anyway, that's Sounds of the Game brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Let's hear from the head coach, Andy Reid, tonight. Big Red talked about this game and injuries, which good news for the Kansas City Chiefs on that front.
All right. As far as we had no injuries today. So, listen, there's some good things we can take out of this game, as tough as it is, with our young guys and how they stepped up and competed. We had too many mistakes when it was all said and done, and they had a few less ones than what we did. But it's good to learn from this, and it can benefit you down the road if you handle it right. So, this team, I think, will definitely do that. With that, I thought, again, the defensive secondary with Joshua Williams and Devin Bush stepped up in big positions for us. Again, their experience will benefit us down the road. Jalen Watson, again, is continuing to grow back there. So, like I said, the young guys are doing some good things. And then it was good to get Bucker back. Juju, I thought, had a nice day. Kels had a nice day. And then our defensive line with Frank and Chris and Carlos and, you know, the crew there, I thought they did some nice things throughout. And I can keep going on. When you have a game like this, it's right there. I mean, it's two good teams playing each other, and the smallest of things can get you off course, and the other team can beat you. So we've got to clean up a few things. We'll do that, and then we'll get right back on it and get ready for the 49ers. With that, time's yours.
Coach, I think midway to the third quarter, Juju got a personal foul. What was it that the official said? He said, and I mean, I know it's not the totality of what happened towards the end of the game, but how much of that actually hurt the team?
I don't know. But it was something, I guess. You know.
Coach, you mentioned Joshua Williams. He got beat a couple of times, but he kept battling. How important is that for a young guy to be able to bounce back and just finish the game strong?
I mean, that's what I take out of this. I take. You know, we had some nicks and bruises, and guys stepped up like that, and he kept coming after it, and he'll be better off for that down the road, and we'll be better off for it down the road.
Coach, the final drive, what did you see on the interception and talking with Patrick right after? What do you think happened?
Yeah, listen, I mean, he was trying to make something happen, and Seven did a nice job of cutting it, but he was trying to make something happen, and normally it does. That one, you know, the guy did a nice, he made a nice play on it.
And it's obviously a game you guys lost around this time last year. We know how it finished out. Do you get a sense in a game like this that this is a pretty good chance of a team you'll be seeing again?
Well, there's a chance. I mean, you never know how things go in this league. But, you know, if we keep playing well and they play well, I'm sure they'll come back around. But we got to make sure we take care of our business and clean up a few things and, you know, make sure that we have an opportunity to continue to win games.
Did it have that sort of feel? I mean, we all consider it a big game. Does it have that sort of feel on the field?
Yeah, well, it's two good teams playing, so the speed of the game is faster, and the guys are competitive. They know each other, and, I mean, it was a great battle. You love these games. You just don't love to be sitting on this end of it. And but you love the competition and the way guys get after it. You get a chance to see two of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League, and they put on a display of good football. So.
Coach, can you talk about Juju's first touchdown, that great play where he broke a couple of tackles?
Yeah, Juju's strong, and he's getting more familiar with the offense every week. Again, that'll help us as we go forward. But you got to see it, the strength and the speed combination, and I was happy for him on it.
Coach, can you talk about Harrison Bucker? Some time off, then come out and hit the 62-yarder. Speak about that.
Yeah, amazing. He's an amazing kicker. So he it was good to have him back out there. We appreciate what the other guys did for us, but Harrison's one of the best in the National Football League. So, it was good to have him back.
The one that he missed, did the wind shift on that one?
I didn't ask him, but he came back and got another one, so. You know,
what does Nick Bolton bring to your defense?
Yeah, well, you saw all the tackles. And the leadership part, he's really upped his game there. He's got a full understanding of what Spags is trying to get done defensively. But the best thing that Nick does is he tackles and does it as well as anybody in the National Football League. And you need that. At that position, you need that.
All right.
There's Andy Reid after the game, Mr. Third all-time in postseason victories. That sound brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio. Since 1967, he mentions how strong Juju is. That's why they wanted him last year. That's why Andy Reid has put the full court press. You know, I'll give him credit. He was, you know, being loyal to Big Ben. He wanted to see it out there. That was a team that took a chance at him at the draft. He wanted to see what he could do. I'll give him full credit. He's being loyal to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but he brought something that Kansas City wanted last year. I mean, there's two things they really wanted. They really needed that X, and they really needed a pass rusher. And they ended up getting that pass rusher in Melvin Ingram, able to get him at that point. But they really wanted Juju. They really thought he would have fit in, and I think he would have too. I mean, I think this team is fine without Tyreek Hill. They're finding a way to get the job done. But had you had him with Tyreek Hill, because that was the one thing they're missing, they're kind of missing that Sammy Watkins role still. Because Sammy did play, when he played, I get it, Sammy spent a lot of time on the sidelines. But when he did play, brought you that toughness, the factor, and he was very good in the postseason for the Kansas City Chiefs. But he mentions Nick Bolton as well. We'll hear that. We'll go back in the locker room and hear from Nick Bolton when we come back.
Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride postgame show, brought to you by Andy's Frozen Custard. Andy's Cookie Casanova Jackhammer is back just for the new year. Hurry in for hot fudge, warm cookies, and frozen custard. Here's Jay Binkley. Let's go, no huddle.
Edwards-Helaire gets the handoff off the first hit, off the second hit, off the third hit, and into the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Taking your calls now at 913-586-7610.
Welcome back to the Arrowhead Pride post-game show. Jay Binkley, Jed Marshall, producing the operation. I mentioned Jordan Poyer, wasn't able to fly because of the rib injury and the pressurization against the ribs in the cabin of the aircraft. So they rented a car, and it was a car service driving them. And somebody else chimed in about this because that's kind of the story at this point. Bill's source tells this Tim Graham, the team rented a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van to take Jordan Poyer and his family from Buffalo to KC. So because of the collapsed lung from his rib injury 2 weeks ago, so I hopped online to look at said Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You can buy a basic one, Jed, for about $45,300. Costs you $817 a month. Now, I didn't have a lot of time to sit there and build this van like I expect them to have built it. Probably somewhere around 65,000, 70,000. It looks cool, but it's one of those high-profile deals. Like, don't drive it in wind because you're going to get blown around. You know what I'm saying? Kind of a smaller wheelbase, but I'm sure this thing was pretty pimp.
You would hope so if it's going to cost $60,000 and it's driving around, as I mentioned prior, an NFL player going.
Like, it's got to have a kegerator, I think, right? Kegerator in it?
Yeah, because normally that's what. Isn't that how you pregame for football games? And you drink out of a keg?
You think they'll stop and get Whataburger or something for him and his family? Because you can't exactly get that in Buffalo, right? I mean, it's just.
I don't know what the good food in Buffalo is, though. I mean, obviously wings, but.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know if he'd be traitorous to his Buffalo Bills compadres and stop at Whataburger. Wouldn't that be, you know, getting in bed with Mahomes, for lack of a better term?
Ooh, because Mahomes doesn't own all the new ones.
He doesn't own all of them, but he is quite prominently featured in Whataburger.
Their quarterback, Josh Allen, buddies of Patrick Mahomes. Matter of fact, Mahomes carried Josh Allen's jockstrap on that golf tournament against Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. He did. He carried him. Mahomes did. But, yeah, he drove to Kansas. I think this is an unusual story. I love it. I love the fact that he did it. That's quite awesome. The Poyer, the Bills rented a van to drive him to Kansas City. It shows how bad they wanted to play and how bad he wanted to play in this game. And when guys sit out all the time, whatever, not him. I give him full credit for coming to Kansas City. But that was Jordan Poyer who took a vehicle here to KC. I'm sure it was quite nice, to be honest with you. Andy Reid spoke about Nick Bolton. Now, keep in mind, Nick Bolton, to me, when you think of what he's done, led the Chiefs in tackles, smaller snap count last year, but still didn't matter. You see a lot of broken tackles from the Chiefs. And it's really noticeable the last couple of games where second and eights are turning into third and ones, third and twos. Or like last week against the Raiders, a fourth and one situation because of bad tackling and arm tackling. The one guy who doesn't do that is Nick Bolton. Like, that is the surest tackler that I've seen here in a long time. It's why the Chiefs were number one in run defense going into last week. And they've never been that well against the run. They slipped down to third this week, and they'll slip down even further after this week's performance because they gave up back-to-back games over 100 yards. One other game they gave up over 100 yards, 103 earlier this season. But Nick Bolton always tackles. This way he was at Mizzou. You're getting what you thought you got. Because he was like that water cooler guy. He came in and say, man, did you see Nick Bolton just light things up? And he did. He's got that ability, but he brings players down. And it's something sorely missing from this defense. But when he's got a chance and 32 is around you, you're going down. Got 13 tackles again today. Where's the green dot? And again, I brought it up. When the Chiefs traded for Orlando Brown, part of the deal that came with Orlando was pick 58. Because Brett Veach even said the hot zone of this draft is going to be the second and third round. Last year's draft, not this year's. And where did he get Bolton? Pick 58. And it's worked out well for the Kansas City Chiefs, extremely well. Here was Nick Bolton, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Oh, yeah, you know, like, especially in games of this magnitude, that's probably the closest thing you can get to a playoff atmosphere in a regular season. So I'm really proud of the young guys. Young guys stepping up when that number was called, going out there and executing the game plan, playing fast and playing confident, getting a chance at the end to win the football game. And that's kind of what it's all about.
You guys knew this coming in, but why was today, you know, a reminder of why Josh Allen is just so tough to defend?
Oh, yeah, he can run the ball on the ground. I was put it in the air. Again, I kind of mentioned it earlier, it's like a DN playing quarterback out in open space, and so it's kind of a hard guy to tackle. The way they use him, I give him in different ways, kind of get the numbers with the quarterback run game. And so it's kind of harder for us to kind of scheme for that type of stuff. But, again, give them credit. They came out with a great game plan, executed on, and they make plays down the stretch. We're going to get better, but I'm proud of where we're at.
I think you mentioned the young guys. Tough task today for Joshua Williams and Jaylen Watson against Diggs and Gabe Davis. What are you doing as the green dot and as the leader of that defense to keep them
pumped up and so they don't get down when those two are making big plays?
I just tell them, just got them play like you did in training camp. Again, those guys on the top of the ball, I give them all the respect, but we also got those type of college players on our offense as well. We do that day in and day out in training camp, and we push each other every single day to get better. And so, again, I tell them to play within themselves, and I play confident. I just play with the little swagger that they got, and they've slowly been growing, getting better every single day with. And so I know that those guys are going to come in, and they're going to do what they're supposed to do. It's just a stepping stone for us, and we're going to keep building to build, get a little bit better.
Nick, in both the games you lost this year, you guys have allowed a touchdown drive late in the game to let the other team go ahead. Is there something you can put your finger on maybe in those two games, what you did up to that point and then what you did on that on the winning drive?
We just got to make plays down the stretch. I feel like Coach Bass put us in great positions. We just got to make plays, got to tackle. We got to get them off the field. We had them on third and short, and they got a QB sneak, I believe, for a first down. And I kind of just kept the drive going. We just got to find a way to get stops down the stretch.
And, Nick, in a game like this, as you mentioned, a lot of young guys in a playoff atmosphere almost. How much chemistry in a game like this is built with the young guys now that they have to step up in a big game against a good team like the Bills?
Oh, yeah, us as vets, it's my second year, but us as vets, we kind of already believe in those guys. It's like this game gave them more confidence. That's kind of what it's about. It's game six. So we got a long way to go. So just them building confidence and them keep going and keep believing in themselves is going to be huge for us down the stretch.
Nick, it's a lot of days between now and the middle of January. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys in that locker room said that they are looking forward to maybe seeing the Bills again. Mm-hmm. Just how much might that be motivating? Not only for next week, but for the remainder of the season, maybe a possibility of getting them another time.
Yeah, we're firm believer probably going to see those guys again. But for us, for me personally, that's about next week. We got to come out next week, different offense, different philosophy. We got to stop the run, and that's kind of what I'm looking forward to next week. I'm not looking too far ahead. I'm just going to take this week by week.
How much more complicated is your job against a guy like Josh Allen, who is such a threat with his legs as well as his own?
It's kind of the same as we go game plan every single week. Again, I give that guy a bunch of respect. He's a great quarterback. He's one of the top quarterbacks in this league for a reason. I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Thank you.
There's Nick Bolton, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio, since 1967. But the point of attack, the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively. As I mentioned, going into the Raiders games, the Chiefs were number one in the NFL against the run. They'd given up 103 total yards rushing to Arizona, 75 yards total rushing to the Chargers, 82 to Indy. Remember the Bucs? They only got 3 yards rushing. They didn't attempt it very often. Was it only 6 attempts in that game? The Raiders went for 155, and that really showed the warts. Josh Jacobs getting out there, stiff-arming, making things happen. Buffalo runs for 125 tonight. But stopping the run and running the football, that's the important part. Now, I know that a lot of people are worried about the offensive line. And listen, Mahomes, you're not getting the best out of Mahomes until you can protect him. If you can protect him, you will get the best out of him. 100%. Where he didn't have to worry about getting hit every time he backs up in the pocket, that he's going to be protected. But it seems like half of them thinking, all right, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen? But the Chiefs, you know, pressure-wise, he gets pressured. Sack-wise, they were 24th in the NFL. They'd only given up 8 sacks. Only 8 before this game. That's good for 24th in the NFL, where they were giving up. Remember, it's tough. The Bengals go out and get Lael Collins, and they fix their offensive line. That was the big, well, that's the reason they don't have a Super Bowl ring. It was the offensive line last year in Cincinnati. They redo it, kind of like the Chiefs did as well. Well, they're still having issues. But they're third in the NFL and giving up sacks. I mean, this is a big problem in the NFL, especially with the elite pass rushers making the big money. You got to find a way to stop it. Got to start controlling the line of scrimmage, because if you do, that's when you're going to win. That's why the Chiefs fell down 17 points to the Raiders. They were getting beat at the point of attack. They were getting whipped around the offensive line and the defensive line, not able to cut it. But running the football, to me, is big. This is something I feel the Chiefs could be able and should be able to do. Because find me a better situation than Kansas City. When you're not seeing 8-man fronts, because they're worried about Mahomes' arm, and you have an offensive line that should be able to run block. So running behind this offensive line, they do it for 4.5 yards per carry. Good enough as a team. They're 18th in the NFL running the football for about 114 yards a game. Take the pressure off Mahomes. Let him be able to relax a little bit. Get some confidence in your offensive line. The hard part is like third and ones. You know, getting the short yardage gains for the Kansas City Chiefs, that's the tough part. You know, being able to just kind of man up and manipulate the game like they did in Buffalo 2 years ago, where they're able to run the football and win the game. That and the tackling. I think tackling, to be honest with you, is the bigger problem. I think the offensive line is a problem, but I think tackling. And listen, the Spags schemes and the things he's doing, I love the nickel blitzes and blitzing from the secondary. It's great. But they've got to find a way because teams are going forward and fourth down against the Chiefs ad nauseum. And it looked like it worked, like against what the Raiders did, it going for the jugular on fourth and one. Buffalo went for it all the time tonight. Now, sometimes it came back and bit them, but you got to make them pay because they went fourth and three around the 50-yard line. And they didn't get it. But this is what teams are going to do because they know you have to go four downs against the Chiefs to beat them. You got to start tackling because if teams are going to be going for it on fourth down, you got to have the sure tacklers in. But that's been a big, it's a big problem in football, in my opinion. They've watered it down. They make the defenders so worried about hitting that they're going to get penalties that's watered down. And now in high school, you get teams airing it out all the time, four and five wide. When you get to college, that's what they do. They are not hitting. I remember talking to Derek Johnson at training camp a long time ago just about the art of tackling in the NFL. They're not, like when I played football, everybody ran. You ran in high school, you ran in college, you ran all the time. Teams ran the NFL. It's just different. It's a different game now. You're not you're tackling smaller wide receivers now. You're not tackling the running game. But that's a problem. But to me, nothing changed. It's still the Bills and the Chiefs. I thought the Ravens were the third best, but there's no reason to ever believe in the Ravens. And I did because I was buying into their MVP quarterback. And keep in mind, and they've barely lost games. And they have an MVP quarterback who, by the way, has never lost to an NFC team until today. That was the big difference. But right now, if I ask you, Jed, who is the top two teams, you're going to say the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm putting words in your mouth, but I'd
agree wholeheartedly.
Who would you say is three?
I'd probably go with the Ravens still. I don't love what Lamar Jackson does just because he hasn't done all that much in the postseason, but I still think that their roster from top to bottom is probably the third best. I think that in a favorable matchup, if they get one in the playoffs, that they actually could do damage. But yeah, I'd still probably put the Ravens three.
If their defense is still good, right? I mean, that's what they're always been known for. They're just not. Their defensive coordinator is now in New York, Wink Martindale. But who else is it? The Bengals did win the day over the Saints. A very injured Saints team. Didn't beat them by much, but don't count the Bengals out. Are you buying the Jets at 4-2?
No, I'm not. I'm not buying any of the New York teams. And the Bengals, while scary, and I do appreciate the fact that they won, I do feel like they have a lot of Super Bowl hangover and might have been reading the press clippings that have been written about them.
Yeah, and also, like, how well do you wear the target? If everybody's going out after you, like, the Chiefs have been wearing that, and they've been doing well with it. But everybody's out to get them. Now, Tennessee said that 3-2. I mean, maybe Tennessee doesn't scare me at all. They just don't have the weapons. You stop Derrick Henry. That's your game. 100% your game. The Dolphins are falling flat on their face. And I get it. Tua is hurt, whatever. But do you think Tua is that big a difference? Do you think Tua is that good a quarterback? No, he's not. And you know, this defense has been getting hammered.
And didn't Tyreek Hill leave the game earlier today?
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is about probably 2 weeks from throwing his helmet in disgust.
For sure. But
and calling Joe Rosenhaus and getting pissed because he's not getting the ball.
You also mentioned the Titans in there as well. And I think that when you get to a point where you're looking at teams that are real contenders, you have to start with the quarterback position. I mentioned that I'm not as sold on Lamar Jackson as other people. I still think that the Ravens are probably the third best team. But at least he does have an NFL MVP on his mantle. You know, Josh Allen, you've talked about a lot tonight, Bink, that he hasn't done anything to warrant maybe the accolades that he's getting, except for the fact that you see his play on the field. When you look at the Titans specifically, Derrick Henry, he's a great player, but I think that the run game, as you talked about just prior, is kind of old school NFL. And if you have Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback, I like what Mike Vrabel does, and I think that he's a hell of a coach. But I think just when you have a limited quarterback, that's where you're going to find yourself being, you know, a 10-7, maybe 11-6 team, maybe.
But you've always got to keep this fresh, and eventually, you know, the wheels going to slow down on Travis Kelce. Like, you got to keep giving Mahomes weapons. You got to take care of that guy. You give him weapons, you give him a line to protect him, and you get somebody, and hopefully as he gets older, this is what they do. You got to be able to find a running game. And you know what? You don't need a first-round running back. You don't need a second-round running back. You know, teams are finding undrafted or seventh-round picks like Isaiah Pacheco. Solid running game, fix the offensive line, and get the most out of what you're paying your quarterback $500 million for. Because, you know what, look at Joe Burrow, as good as he is. He can't be great when he's on the ground all the time. He was sacked more than any quarterback in the NFL last year. You can't get the best out of your commodity, a quarterback, unless you protect him. And that's kind of what the Chiefs really need to consider now. No, they're not giving up the sacks, but the pressure in is Mahomes running around. Because that's what, I mean, I don't know about you, but I, you know, when I see Mahomes scrambling, I'm a little, get a little nervous from time to time. A little nervous that he's running maybe too much in that game. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, here's his post-game press conference brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
Yeah, I mean, when you lose a game, especially at home, it's never a good feeling. That was a great football team. I thought we played some good football. We just made too many mistakes at the end of the day. And when you play, when you make mistakes against another great football team, you lose football games. And so it'll be good to learn from. But right now, I mean, it stinks.
For sure. Patrick, what did you see on the last play as that unfolded?
Yeah, they were in like a shell type defense, obviously. I looked originally to the – we had a corner route, and he had dropped back, and I kind of wanted to reset. I think you could see I wanted to reset and throw it to him fast, and Milano was in the way. And then by the time I reset and threw it to him again, Seven made a great play and got back in there. So, that's a good defense. That's a good player. You're at the end of the game. You're trying to press the issue and trying to get some completions because you got to score a touchdown. But he made a good play when it counted.
You have so much success in situations like that. Is it harder pill for you to swallow because normally you can't, things work out better?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, every time I get the ball, no matter what the situation is, I expect to find a way to win. That's what this whole offense, this team expects. You get the ball with a minute left and two timeouts. I mean, you're trying to find ways to get chunk plays. And if I can just barely maybe hit McColl on that first one and get that chunk play, then it might be different. So I always expect to win until there's literally no time. So anytime you lose, it definitely hurts.
Patrick, was there anything different about this particular defense? I know you were under a lot of pressure last week. This week, obviously, you were sacked twice by Von Miller. Was there something that you were seeing that your line wasn't able to protect you as well?
No, I thought they did a good job of just kind of getting – there were some that Vaughn obviously made plays. I mean, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason, so he's going to make plays here and there. But then there were some that they played good coverage and were in the right spots at the right time. So it's about me finding the way to get the ball to my hands, finding outlet throws and stuff like that. But I think for the most part, I thought the offensive line did a good job. It was just a couple plays, and, I mean, they have a good defense, and they're going to make some plays throughout the game.
Patrick, does a game like that take on a different feeling during the game just because you know what these two teams are capable of?
I think you just want to win just because you're a competitor and you know that you're playing the best of the best, and you feel like you're the best of the best, so you want to win those games. But at the end of the day, it's just a game. I think that's what you got to have to reiterate to guys in the locker room. It's one game in the regular season. That you wanted to win, you felt like you could win, and you didn't. So how are you going to respond? Because we play a great team next week.
Patrick, the build-up of this game, yeah, the comparison of Josh Allen and yourself, is this one, staying a little bit more just because of that comparison?
No, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I want to win, yeah, against the best. And he's put himself up there. So definitely you want to win against the best and play against the best football teams. But when you lose, at least you're losing to the best. So you have two great quarterbacks, two great teams. You have two great coaches going at it. That's what you want. And we lost this time, but hopefully we can battle back and have another chance when we get to the playoffs.
Patrick, Andy mentioned Juju's growth in the offense. Seemed like he had clicked a little bit more today. What did you see from his game in particular?
Yeah, I mean, he made a couple of great plays. I mean, he's battled to kind of continue to evolve in this offense and learn more and more. But I've kind of said it. I think he's going to be a big part of this offense because the way he's able to catch the ball and run tough through traffic. So he had a great game today. I'm sure he'll keep getting more and more involved. And like I've said all year, it's going to be a different guy every game, and it's been that way this season.
Patrick, what did you see on the pick in the end zone, just trying to throw it up to let your receiver make a play?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to put it in that one spot that the receiver could get it and no one else could get it, and kind of that high point in the back corner of the end zone. And we got our hands on it, but they made a great play. And that's, like I said, we can't make those mistakes because if you look at it, I mean, that's 3 points. And then at the end of the game, we're going for a field goal instead of a touchdown. So I always believe in my guys and try to make those throws and give them a chance. But their guy made a play in a big point in the game.
Patrick, your series against the Bills has become pretty intriguing overall. Do you have some sense, really, it's almost inevitable you'll see them again? And does that inform this game a little bit for you?
I mean, you can definitely see it because you know they're going to be a team that's in the playoffs or competing for the playoffs, obviously. But you can't look ahead, and I think that's the biggest thing to me. And I think I learned that last year in the AFC Championship game is sometimes if you start looking ahead, that's when you kind of get beat. And we don't want to look ahead. We have a great football team we're playing, and we're going to the bye, and then we're going to have a schedule of a lot of division opponents coming up. So we want to make sure we focus on this next week. How can we get better? To go out there and execute and try to find a way to win against a great football team at their home.
Patrick, first time you faced them with Von Miller, obviously. How has he changed the dynamics of that defense over
there? I mean, he's a great player. So anytime you add a great player like that, a Hall of Fame player, you have to account for him on every single play. So I thought our offensive line did a pretty good job for the most part. They had the one at the end of the game where I held the ball too long and he sacked me, but he had the one spin move. I mean, that's like the patented Von Miller spin that he's going to bring out at least once or twice a game that he's kind of mastered. That, I mean, it happens. But at the end of the day, how do we respond? I thought the guys responded well.
All right.
There's Patrick Mahomes, part of our Sounds of the Game, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound. As far as the Kansas City Chiefs, some interesting things. The NFL record book for most receptions, career tight end. As I mentioned, Travis Kelce going up 100 yards again. 745 career receptions for Travis Kelce puts him fifth all-time, passing Greg Olsen at the most career receptions league. It seems like every week we're talking about things and records that he's breaking because every week's a different record being broke by Travis Kelce. Chiefs record book, most games, 100 or more receiving yards in a career. Travis Kelce, number one, all on, and he already had this record at 31. Tony Gonzalez did it 26 times. Now, the NFL record, not the Chiefs record, but the entire NFL record for most 100-yard games for a tight end in his career, number one, Rob Gronkowski with a whopping 32. As I mentioned, Travis Kelce, 31. Travis Kelce will knock this record down probably in 2 to 3 weeks, and then he'll be alone. He needs two more, actually, to be alone, but he's going to be alone this year. Most career 100-yard games. Most Chiefs record book for most consecutive games, pass receptions. He's now got 132 pass receptions, and it's going back to September 7, 2014 till now, besting Tony Gonzalez, who had 131 December 4, 2000 through December 28, 2008. The NFL record book for most consecutive games, pass receptions from an active streak, active players. DeAndre Hopkins is suspended, has 136. Travis Kelce with 132. Well, Josh Williams getting a lot of talk tonight because, you know, the rookie fourth-round pick was covering some good receivers. You know, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, no joke. I'll give him a break because he is a rookie. He's a rookie forced to play quite a bit without Fenton, without Trent McDuffie. You're asking guys that are rookies and Jalen Watson and Joshua Williams, who were not first-round picks, were not second-round picks or third-round picks, a fourth and a seventh-round pick, but our very own Josh Klingler caught up with Josh Williams in the locker room.
All week for it, and a lot of times, you know, this game, with all these talented guys, it comes down to two plays, three plays sometimes, and that's literally what it came down to. So, you know, the preparation is key, but execution is also key. Go out there and use what you practiced all week.
You had a couple of plays late in the game, too, like after you'd already given up the touchdowns. I mean, what do you take from that, being able to not give up, you know, and show that you're staying in the game, kept fighting?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, I could give up a million touchdowns, but I'm still on the field. I'm going to go out there and work hard. You know, it's nothing on my mental. You know, I leave that in the past and try to worry about the next upcoming play. I'm not really too down on myself about it. I do know I'm going to, you know, be in the film room a lot this week, getting some extra work this week, you know, staying with the vets, staying with some of the guys who have been getting extra playing time, and just learn from any tips they could give me.
That's kind of the life of a corner, right?
Absolutely.
You
got to
have that short-term memory. How do you kind of develop that, like leaving it behind and getting on to the next one?
You got to have tough skin, I'll say that. You know, you're going to get a lot of crazy, you know, messages or just, you know, responses from people, fans, whatever. But you can't look at that. Got to leave it alone. And then just worry about what's going on in-house. Get with your teammates. Get with your coaches. Because those are the guys who, you know, really understand the game and know what's best for you and how to excel your game. So, you know, like I said, just leave that alone. Focus on the positive. Focus on what I can get better at. And that'll, you know, pretty much handle a lot of problems.
How'd you handle the week leading up? You said you kind of practiced quite a bit and that this was a big opportunity yet for you. How'd you handle coming in?
You know, mainly just getting with some of the corners who've been playing, Jalen, you know, Snead, Trent, all these guys, taking tips from them. You know, they've been getting reps and they gave me, you know, plenty of tips and advice. And, you know, even getting extra film with them, extra drills with them, just trying to, you know, prepare myself for this week against this, you know, a good team, you know, so... those are some of the things I used, and I honestly do believe, you know, I prepared well for this game. It just comes down to a couple plays and executing well. So,
what types of stuff did the guys talk to you about in-game or the coaches talk to you about in-game?
You know, just being ready. You know, anytime, you know, we see single high or something like, or the quarterback makes the single high, be ready for the shots. You know, they caught him out a lot. I wouldn't say anything really took me for a surprise. Most of it was just, you know, come down to a split-second moment. And you got to finish, man. You got to compete, get that ball out. So, you know.
You want those opportunities, though, don't you?
Absolutely. You know, I'm not backing down from it. You know, it does suck. You don't want to walk away from this game with a loss, especially when, you know, there's something you could have did to stop it. But at the end of the day, I'm going to take this, take it to the chin, get better, get back in the film room, weight room, whatever I need to do to go out there and be the best possible player I can be.
What does this team take out of this one? A tough, hard-fought, close game.
Right. I'd say, for one, you know, experience, you know, first game starting. So, you know, we had some young – well, I'm the young guy, really, you know, getting a lot of reps this week. And, you know, that'll help us in the future, rather now than later on in the line, because I know we'll have a long season. And eventually, you know, it might, you know, roll back on my shoulders to go and get some of these balls out and make a play for the team. So.
There you go, Josh Williams with Josh Klingler, Chief Sideline Reporter and co-host Fesco in the Morning, that you can hear tomorrow morning at 5:58. The Chiefs and the 49ers next week, 3:25 game start. There you can hear the game right over at 106.5 The Wolf, pregame starting at noon. We'll simulcast it here on 610 Sports Radio. Then a bye week. So 49ers bye week before the Tennessee Titans and Jags come to town to face the Kansas City Chiefs. Jed Marshall, great job producing this operation. 24-20, the Chiefs fall to the Buffalo Bills in their 53rd all-time meeting. Andy Reid goes to 6-3 against the Bills as the Chiefs head coach. Mahomes goes to 3-2 against the Buffalo Bills. Well, it's time to put I didn't get anything out of this, didn't gleam anything out of who's the better team. I think both of them could have won this game tonight very easily. But regardless, Chiefs fall, 49ers next week. See you then. Good night.